It is now time for Mic Check, our featured segment, ladies and gentlemen, and the long-awaited announcement for Groovin' in the Park 2022. We will be joined by our very special guest, the CEO of Groovin' in the Park, Mr. Christopher Roberts. But Anthony Turner, over the years, and I know you have something to say about Groovin' in the Park, over the years, Groovin' in the Park has been able to attract some real international artists from all genres coming in to Roy Wilkins Park. Laid out, Anthony Turner.
Well, today, as you said, Ras Clem, we were just weeks away from Groovin' in the Park 2022, the date Sunday, June 26th, the 10th anniversary of the festival, which officially kicked off in 2011 as the inaugural Reggae Rhythm and Blues with R&B hit machine, Mr. Kenny Babyface Edmonds, and we all remember that at Roy Wilkins Park in Queens, New York. And the event has since mushroomed into Groovin' in the Park, New York's premier R&B, reggae, and summer concert. And in the past 9 years, the annual festival, as you said, Ras Clem, has provided first-class entertainment for thousands of families and friends here in the New York metro region, bringing to the main stage the best talent that reggae and R&B music has to offer, including the legendary Gladys Knight, Boyz II Men, Mr. Jimmy Cliff, Beresford Hammond, Tessan Chin, Dancehall King, Beanie Man. There was, of course, Michael Bolton, Billy Ocean, how could we forget that? Morgan Heritage, Coco T, Stitchy, Luciana Sanchez that year with Barrington Levy. We also remember the 50th anniversary of reggae queen Marcia Griffiths, Freddie McGregor, Cableton, David Rodigan, Barry G, and a host of others, Ras Clem. So as we prepare to make this big announcement today, Ras Clem, lots to talk about since 2011.
You know, Anthony, when we look at Groovin' in the Park, and when I say international reggae superstars, you talk about Jimmy Cliff, we talk about the legendary Mr. Tootsie Ibbert, Damien Jr. Gang Marley, we brought a young Chronix in, we brought the likes of Steel Pulse all the way from England, and I think one of the biggest and best band to ever play Groovin' in the Park, we went all the way down under to Australia, and we brought in Air Supply, ladies and gentlemen. Well, we had a date set in stone for Sunday, June 26, 2022, for the return of Groovin' in the Park. But with all what's happening, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have a conversation with our CEO, Mr. Christopher Roberts. Good morning, Chris.
Hi, Clem. Good morning. And I want to also say a pleasant Saturday morning to all our listeners.
Yes, sir. Welcome.
Good morning, Chris. How are you doing, sir?
Hey, Anthony, I'm so sorry. How are you doing, Mr. Turner? I'm doing fine. Yourself?
Yeah, man. My voice finally coming back slowly but surely, so we have to give God thanks. And good to hear you, man.
Thanks.
You know, Chris, as we engage you this morning to talk about Groovin' in the Park 2022 and the status, looking back at the creation of Groovin' in the Park, and what the team has been able to do over the last, it would be actually about 12 years now, because with the global pandemic still happening, with the COVID numbers continuing to go up once again, and the level of COVID has been raised. When you look back at the journey of Groovin' in the Park and the success of Groovin', Chris, are there any doubts that you would have done this any other way, or the team would have done this any other way?
No, and I say that, Clem, because it was, you know, we have a very small team, mm-hmm. and it's a big concert, so it's a lot of work. Mm-hmm. I don't know sometimes how we work, or we managed to, you know, did what we do. So, no, the only other thing I probably would have tried to put together a bigger team. Probably that's one of the things that I would do differently. And that also is very, very difficult, especially in the early stages.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You know, when I look at the size of the team of Groovin' in the Park, I am going to take some words from Fidel Castro. And Fidel Castro said if he had to do it all over again, he would prefer to go to war with 15 men instead of 50. 15 men that are committed. So it doesn't matter the size of the team, you know. It's the effectiveness of the team that matters. And when you look at the small group of people who have been able over the last years after years to pull together and brought in, and it's now New York's premier, North America's premier, the largest one-day reggae and R&B festival anywhere you can find in North America. You look at the international artists that we have able to bring in, whether on the reggae side and on the R&B side. A very impressive group of artists, Chris. And just go back to day one when Babyface said he had to be in the park before sundown. He had to perform mm-hmm. before sundown. And he had to leave before sundown. And you look what the festival has mushroomed into. Doesn't that make you feel a bit different today?
Of course. And I feel, of course, I'm still excited that we're able to get it to the level where it's at right now. Mm-hmm. But, you know, just to go back to your example with Fidel Castro, mm-hmm. you know, the team, it probably needs 15 men, but we had three. So, you know, it makes it still needed to build it a little bit more. Looking back, I just give all the credit, of course, to our community mm-hmm. and to our audience because, mm-hmm. you know, year after year, they stood with us and there are thousands and thousands of our patrons who have never missed a Groovin' in the Park. So they're there mm-hmm. every year for let me say, I want to say the 9 years that we have had our stage, the concert. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think we owe it to them mm-hmm. to continue to support it. And you know the anticipation that's there for this year. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we say, you know, a big thanks to our audience and our community.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, you know, we have a date set in stone. We have a date set in stone mm-hmm. for Sunday, June 26th. You mentioned the anticipation. And people have been talking about Groovin' for quite some time. Yes, we put our dates out at least a year in advance, ladies and gentlemen, for our next staging of Groovin' in the Park. But if you look at what's taking place today with the global inflation, a global pandemic, there's a war going on. The place seems to be a little bit unstable. And you look at the magnitude and the size of Groovin' in the Park. And we will talk about the decision that we have come to for this year's staging. And what will happen, ladies and gentlemen. When you put all of that in perspective, Chris, and you look at the rising price in everything, will this play a role in the decision that we have come to?
Of course, Clem, certainly. To produce a Groovin' in the Park, it's a big budget, primarily because we convert a park that wasn't built for a concert. Mm-hmm. We convert it in a couple of days into a huge, huge concert venue. And to do that, you know, we bring a lot of stuff in, you know, the stage, mm-hmm. The sound, the lighting, and all of this stuff. I mean, it is just extremely expensive to do, especially in such a short notice. Mm-hmm. One of the things that you and I discussed weekly is how we'll have to increase the price of the tickets for us to be able to cover the concert, mm-hmm. Because the continued rapid increase in oil, for example, gas, would have affected us tremendously. We bring artists, as you said it earlier, we bring artists from everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we have seen probably a 35% increase in airfares compared to 2019. So we're looking at significant increases, mm-hmm. and it's not done yet. So we're still not at, you know, June yet. So we still might be able to see, or will be able to see, more increases. So that played a factor in our decision.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anthony.
Yeah, good morning again, Chris. One of the things that I want you to expound on a little is the pandemic, as you said, you know, has been a major factor in the past 2 years in the decision not to host the event. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that it has affected the reggae community in a very significant way, because there are a lot of the reggae artists who have made decisions about the vaccine and whether they will or will not take the vaccine. But we know, according to the rules, immigration rules here in the U.S., if you're going to come, you have to, I guess, do a COVID test. And I think you need to be vaccinated. So how has that also played into the decision and how it impacts the lesser artists that you have access to booking from the reggae community?
Initially means late last year, so September through December. We were very uncertain who was vaccinated. A lot of what we thought was really assumptions, because now when you look at the different events that are advertised, you see artists, the list keeps growing. Mm-hmm. So we don't know when and who was vaccinated, but we assume that many of the artists weren't. And as we reached out, it's a question that we didn't want to really ask, because I think it's a people's privacy also, but we had to, and we were getting different answers. Some say yes, some say nay, some say okay, by the time we get there, we will be, which is we couldn't accept. But, as I look at it, I think we would have been fine, when it comes to the reggae acts. And then one other thing, a lot of the reggae artists do live here. Some of them, people would be surprised, they live somewhere in the United States. So mm-hmm. It wasn't too much of an issue for us.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I know we had quite a few contacts and artists book for 2020 and also 2021. And you look at those obligations that some of those artists now have, and it plays a big role into the decision, ladies and gentlemen, that we will make in a moment. By now, you should see the direction that we're going into for 2022. A lot of these international artists had previous engagement that they now are trying to fulfill. Talk about that, Chris.
Yes, Clem, and you're right. There are different obligations, it affected a lot of the scheduling for the artists. Mm-hmm. We did have our lineup for 2020. COVID really closed down in the United States in just about March, late March, early April. Mm-hmm. So by that time, we had most of our artists pretty much booked, and who wasn't booked, we were actually in final discussions. So we had our lineup for 2020. We kept most of the agreements, and we agreed with the artists and the agents that we would, still engage them when we're back to normal. A few of the artists accepted other engagements that conflict mm-hmm. with our current date, and some of that came from other obligations that they also had. Mm-hmm. So, we had to work that out. And that made it very, difficult, but nevertheless, we had a lineup, and then we still have a lineup that we would have to use this year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One of the things that people kept saying, Chris, is that Grooving in the Park has grown into an event where, it doesn't matter who's on the stage, but that does matter, right?
Yes. I mean, at the end of the day, Clem, Grooving in the Park annually becomes a discussion, mm-hmm. whether it's in a workplace, whether it's at a party, whether it's on the ball field, the community continue to discuss. Well, I saw this person at the at Roy Wilkins Park, which is right in the middle of our community. For example, I was at a party a couple of weeks ago, and the selector played two Michael Bolton songs, and somebody walked over to me and said, "Thanks." Michael Bolton is one of my favorite artists, and I'm so glad I got the opportunity, you know, to see him right here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a discussion everywhere. So for us, as we make the decision, we don't consider that it doesn't matter who is on stage, people are going to turn up. No, we want, at the end of the day, we want our audience to feel satisfied.
Mm. I am seeing a lot of messages coming in via Facebook and texting, just saying to us, just go ahead and say what we need to say. But yes, ladies and gentlemen, we are chatting with our CEO of Groovin' in the Park, Mr. Christopher Roberts. And we have come to a decision that this year's staging of Groovin' in the Park, based on what's happening, Chris, what is the decision that you have come to?
Before you get to that, Chris, I just wanted to kind of rewind the clock just a little bit and talk. I want you to talk about two artists who played Groovin' in the Park, who were major players, and we've lost them since. We're talking about Mr. Bob Andy, and we're also talking about Toots Hibbert. Just talk to about us about those two artists before you give us your decision.
Okay. Mr. Andy and
Toots.
And Mr. Toots, right. You know what, Anthony and Clem, you know, we always say, especially both of you always say, when we have the opportunity to see our legends, we should take that opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I walk away from that with, because we just never know. We never know for anyone.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to especially our seniors, you know, I mean, we're all human beings and we're all fragile. But that just goes to show that, you know what, we should present them and we should encourage, especially our kids, to come and see them, because they're really, really legends. I mean, when you look at reggae music, and where we're coming from, and from its inception, you can't exclude Toots nor Bob Handy.
Mm-hmm.
So those who had a chance to see them in Roy Wilkins Park have that experience. You know, I remember I met a lady after one of the concerts. I think it was a 2015 concert, and she lives in Rochdale Village. Mm-hmm. And she was crying, and she said to me, "I can't believe it. I had the chance to see Bob Handy, Marcia Giverit, Ken Booth," and she went on, and she said, "You know what, the most exciting thing, I saw them right here." She said, "I travel the world to go to concerts, that's all I do, my daughter and I, we enjoy concerts, and we travel anywhere the concert is, but I saw them right here in our backyard." So, you know, it's an opportunity every time we get the opportunity to bring them and to present them to the community.
You know, outside of Robert Nesta Marley and the music of Robert Nesta Marley, there may not be another international artist like Mr. Toots Hibbert. And when you talk about Mr. Bob Andy, one of the most prolific songwriter to ever come out of Jamaica, it was really his time in 2014 when he played Groovin' in the Park, the legendary, the icon.
My resistance is getting weaker. I just can't stand the pressure. I can't be any meager. I've got to find me some of the treasure I need. Nothing to be a man, because I was born a man, and I deserve the life to live like any other man.
Wow. What an icon.
My mind is in such a state, sometimes it makes me sick. At times I've tried to hate, but I just don't know the trick. I need nothing to be a man, because I was born a man, and I deserve the right to feel like any other man.
And you know, ladies and gentlemen, Chris and Anthony, every time I would see Bob Andy after he played Groovin' in the Park, he would say to me that he has yet to play Groovin' in the Park, because Bob always wanted to come back and play Groovin' in the Park as a solo act. And one of the things that people don't know is when we did Groovin' in the Park 2014, celebrating 50 years of music with Marcia Griffiths, and she brought Bob Andy in, You know, when we called Bob after the show to say thank you, do any one of you guys remember what Bob Andy said to us?
No,
hey, Anthony,
no, go ahead.
Yeah, well, Bob Andy said to us that he has never done an event and the promoter calls after the event to say thank you. He said the promoters will generally count their monies and just go about their merry way. And Bob Andy was just blown away. Bob died sadly in the middle of 2020 in COVID-19. And then you talk about the legendary himself, Fredrix Nathaniel Toots Ebert. I've never seen or sat with a more humble person than Mr. Toots Ebert. And if you can remember, Chris, the first time we booked Toots Ebert for Grooving in the Park, he didn't get a chance to play because he was hit in the head with a bottle at a concert. But when the launch took place at the Consul General's office, and I think it was Mr. Vincent Osang's charity that he donated some money to, because they were doing, they were getting ready to send a machine to Jamaica. And just out of nowhere, Toots got up and says, I'm making X amount of thousands of dollars in contribution to this. This man was such an humble individual. But sadly, COVID-19 also took Mr. Toots Ebert life. Sad times, huh?
One thing I want to mention, again, I mean, I was coming up with this one thing, but yeah, you spoke about the price of the tickets, Chris, and, you know, trying to keep it within a certain amount. But I just want to let folks listening understand this, because Mr. Michael Bolton, who I had the opportunity to see at Grooving in the Park, is a favorite artist of mine, and I was just researching ticket prices so that, you know, me and my wife probably could see him. It turns out that he's going to be in New York in December. And guess the type of prices that they're charging, Chris. I see ticket orchestra tickets for $534. We saw him at Groovin.
For $50.
You know, so just think about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're chatting with our CEO, Mr. Christopher Roberts. We have come to a decision for Grooving in the Park 2022. But before we announce it, peace, perfect peace, the legendary voice of Uncle Toots. I know that the team has gone above and beyond to bring in international superstars to Grooving in the Park. Gotta say thanks to Andrea, for she was the advocate. She was an advocate for Mr. Toots Ebert and for those who came to Grooving in the Park 2016 to finally see Mr. Toots Ebert on a Grooving stage. I am telling you that you were a part of history. Bringing in a group like Steel Pulse all the way, and Steel Pulse was the group that replaced Toots when Toots got hurt the first year. I think it was 2013 when Toots got hurt. Steel Pulse was on tour and they were all the way down in Brazil, and they came in to fill that role, that void that was left because Mr. Toots Ebert got hurt. Bringing in a Jimmy Cliff, Chris. I mean, how often do you see a Jimmy Cliff playing at an event which is put on by us, huh?
Yeah, that again was phenomenal, Clem. But I want to make one thing clear. To our audience is that the price of the tickets was not the primary factor that influenced our decision. Our vision was primarily influenced by the the pandemic, you know, because we believe the unpredictability and variability of the virus was so much that, you know, we don't know what would happen next. We carefully listen to the health experts, you know, in making our decisions. So I just want to make that clear, because the primary reason really was the health, safety and well-being of our audience, our production team, our vendors, and our, you know, our staff. So that's the deciding factor. That's what we based our decision on.
Okay. When we come back after the break, ladies and gentlemen, we will make that announcement. What happens in 2022 for Grooving in the Park? Stay where you are. The biggest international superstar to ever play Grooving in the Park, Michael Bolton.
I have often dreamed of a far-off place where a hero's welcome would be waiting for me, where the crowds will cheer when they see my face, and a voice keeps saying, this is where I'm meant to be.
That's right.
I'll be there someday. I can go the distance. I will find my way. If I can be strong, I'll know every mile will be worth my while. When I go the distance, I'll be right where I belong.
The legendary sounds of Mr. Michael Bolton. And as we welcome you back to the final 24 minutes of our Grooving Radio's presentation this Saturday morning, we are in our featured segment. It is called Mic Check, and it's the big announcement that a lot of people have been waiting for. A lot of people, some people will be happy, some people will be sad, but it's the announcement of what happens for Grooving in the Park 2022. It is always said that you should choose rightly and build wisely. Christopher Roberts, our CEO, is our guest this morning. Anthony Turner, our writer, is a part of the conversation. Welcome back, Chris.
Thanks, mate.
Well, you know, before you took the break, you mentioned that primarily it wasn't the ticket pricing that made the impact in this decision. You talk about COVID-19 and the new COVID had we got this week. It says COVID is still here. Let's talk about the decision that you have come to for Grooving in the Park 2022.
Right. And Tim, I just want our audience to know that, you know, we have been meeting weekly and discussing, you know, where do we go? How does it look? Mm-hmm. What factors should we consider in making our decisions? So it's not just, you know, we got up and decided not to do this. We have been tracking this since 2020, like everyone else. Mm-hmm. And, you know, out of an abundance, really an abundance of caution, you know, we, and I say this really was a difficult decision for us to not stage Grooving in the Park this year. We know that there are a lot of people who are looking forward to it. They build a vacation around coming to New York, or they put it on their calendar as one of the summer events. And it's, you know, we took all of this into consideration. But as I said earlier, our decision had to be based on what's going on with COVID-19. Mm-hmm. And, you know, when we look back at December, for example, back as November, it was first announced that, oh, there's Omicron in South Africa. A month later, it was announced that it was here. Mm-hmm. And we continued to make our plans. We, you know, we said, you know, by the time we get to June, we should be fine. We got into January, and the Grammy Awards announced that they're going to postpone to a later date. Mm-hmm. And we started to really take note and of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we get to February, everything was booked. We have our artists booked. We were making preparation for announcements and advertising and all that stuff, and the whole promotion.
Mm-hmm.
Then, again, we were told by the health experts that there was a rapid spread of Omicron in the United States, and they, at that time, they announced that the vice president contracted the disease, and hospitalizations were trending up, not only in the USA, but in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we got really concerned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, one of the arguments during that time was that, you know, this Omicron, not even Omicron, but a variant, was far more contagious,
mm-hmm.
even more than Omicron, and the United States was bracing for another surge.
Mm-hmm.
And this was February.
Mm-hmm.
This was a time where we finalized and said, okay, let's go. By the time we get into March, everything start rolling.
Mm-hmm.
We heard this news again, we pulled back.
Mm-hmm.
Because, again, we want to make sure we were making the right decision.
Mm-hmm.
And this affected some of our artists as we delayed. They also wanted to know, are we going, should we make different arrangements, and some of them, few of them did, but that would we could have addressed. So with all of that happening, we have decided, you know, that we are not in the position to do the concert this year, because we weren't comfortable or confident that our audience was comfortable in coming out in such large numbers to the park.
Mm-hmm.
So let's get another year,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you know, the thing I always say, Clem, since this whole pandemic, is that our community is always the last to hear things and to know things.
Mm-hmm.
And we always get affected the worst. And we saw this in the very beginning of the pandemic and right through the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, where our community, when you look at the numbers compared to other communities, we were affected the most. And because of that, we should take more precautions than anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
We should have at least, you know, learn that. And that, with all of that, we decided that, well, look, let's get another year.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, start preparing for next year.
Mm. Ladies and gentlemen, the decision has been reached. There will be no Grooving in the Park 2022. You can now safely etch this date in stone for 2023. Sunday, June 25th. Will be the next staging of Grooving in the Park. And as you listen, and as I listen to you, Chris, and I look at the numbers that came out this week, Europe passed 2 million COVID deaths this week. The United States of America, sadly, on Friday or Thursday, reached 1 million COVID-19 deaths. The mayor has now ordered the flag at City Hall to be flown at half staff, because 40,000 plus New Yorkers have died from COVID-19, reportedly died from COVID-19. And with 30,000 plus people coming into Roy Wilkins Park, the decision of the COVID-19 pandemic played a great role in the cancellation of Grooving in the Park 2022. So, ladies and gentlemen, we do hope that you understand what decision and why this decision has been reached. It is mainly because of your health, the concern of your health. With 30,000 plus people gathering in one place that we have no control over, who knows what would have happened? Anthony?
Yeah, I think it is the right decision. I mean, it's something that I have also been
thinking about. And, you know, I fielded a lot of calls from our patrons who are eager to get back out and to start living again. But some of them also are talking about some of the health concerns that they have. The media have, you know, bombarded me all the time. What's the decision? Can I talk to Mr. Roberts? And it's a tough decision. There are artists who, you know, want to perform, and they are concerned about their own health. So it's I think it's the right decision. I mean, I am involved with Grooving from the very first year, and I have my own concerns about being out there and, you know, with 30,000 plus people, because, you know, I mean, I just contracted COVID recently, and I'm still struggling with my voice. You know, so I think it's the right decision.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have heard the decision, and I can safely say that we did this all for love.
Night becomes the dawn to prove that love goes on. It's written in the stars and in my heart of hearts. With you is where I still belong. Through every page we turn, each lesson that we learn will finally set us free. Or bring us to our knees. And love is right and never wrong. When all we can say, we gave it all. We gave it all for love. Each step of the way, we gave a soul. We gave it all for love. All for love.
Sweet.
Silent prayers I pray, words could never say. To reach into your heart, no matter where you are, I promise we will find a way.
We will, you know.
To walk the road we know, the road that leads us home. I've dreamed, and everyone I've seen, the face of you and you alone. When all we can say, we gave it all. We gave it all for love. Each step of the way, we gave a soul. We gave it all for love. We gave it all.
You know, the year will go by so very fast, ladies and gentlemen, and we do hope in the very, very near future that we can see a clear path of living after COVID-19. The decision has been made, and one of the messages I just got is that the health sector actually supports the decision of not keeping Grooving in the Park this year. And if the health sector is saying that they're supporting this decision, I don't want to speak for anyone at all, but I can tell you, ladies and gentlemen, with these numbers that we're seeing and having this much people gathering in one place, and you know, we're very hard to control, you know. Can't tell a man to wear a mask, can't ask a man if him get vaccine or whatever. So that's a decision. Chris?
Yeah, Clem. And another factor that must be considered is that Grooving in the Park is extremely unique in many ways. But one of the things that I must point to is our demographics. Mm-hmm. We attract a very unique demographic in terms of age range. Mm-hmm. I mean, you have generations come to the concert together. She'll have a great great grandmother, a great grandmother, a grandmother, and then a mother and the kids.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how our patrons enjoy the concert. One of the ways they enjoy the concert.
Mm-hmm.
And that we want to preserve. We have to preserve that. Mm-hmm. So as we made our decision, that was one of the things that we said, look, we know who's coming here, and we know the risk that, you know, the large crowd posed to our audience. So, mm-hmm. so you know, that was one of the things.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you said, we did it because, you know, people want to return to normal, mm-hmm. and we want, all of us want to go back to the things we used to do.
Mm-hmm.
We know that if we decide to keep grooving in the park, we know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. It's going to be one of the biggest concerts we have ever kept. Mm-hmm. Because people, we see from the calls,
mm-hmm.
People are calling from everywhere. People just want to get out. They want something else to do. They want something to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
So we know, even though, you know, we spoke about the price of the ticket, of course that would influence some people probably not to turn up because they can't afford it. But
mm-hmm.
aside from that, we knew we would have been packed.
Mm-hmm.
However, that's not our primary goal.
Mm-hmm.
Our primary goal is to make sure that we're safe and our community and our audience is safe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. A message from Frank and Rose Williams. It says, Ras Clem, Chris and Anthony, Frank and I fully support the decision of canceling the concert for this year. We are confident that when the time is right, we will experience the most awesome concert there ever was. So there are people who are saying that the decision, they're comfortable with it. Chris, but you know, there are some who are still very disappointed. But out of disappointment, you know, you will get some joy and you will get some success. So start spreading the news on Sunday, June 25th, 2023. Grooving in the Park will officially return to Roy Wilkins Park. Anything else you want to share before you go this morning, Chris?
Yeah, I just want to say to our audience and our patrons, it was not an easy decision, Clem. You know, but I remember back in 2019, early 2020, when I saw the Chinese wearing masks, I said it was a normal thing. I always see them on television wearing their mask. Until I realized suddenly I was in my house with a mask on. So I've learned from that not to take these little things for granted. And we have to be very, very cautious. Of course, we are optimistic that, you know, we'll be able to keep the concert next year. But last year, we were also optimistic. So, you know, we're going to continue to stay on the side of being cautious, but being at the same time, we are optimistic that next year, God's willing, we'll be able to have a big celebration of our 10th anniversary.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Anthony Turner?
Yes, we definitely have to thank all the patrons who have faithfully supported events over the years, and, you know, the advertisers, the staff, you know, as you said, it's a small staff, you know, all this, the vendors who come out and, you know, faithfully support the events over the years. And, you know, I am looking forward to a very safe and a very productive 10th anniversary. I know people, as you said, Raskin, some people are maybe a little disappointed, but sometimes a little disappointment is good, because when you get back, it's only going to be bigger and better. So look forward to seeing everybody. 2023, the date is already set in stone. And hopefully we just remain optimistic, mm-hmm. and, mm-hmm. you know, look forward to the return of Grooving in the Park.
And, you know, and this is from me now, because when I look at the folks that we have lost personally, the folks who have worked and played Grooving in the Park. We lost Toots Ebert to COVID-19. One of Berris's Hammond closest state person, he actually passed away. Anthony, there was an engineer that played Grooving in the Park that actually died from COVID-19. When you look at those individuals and the role they play, and you look at this pandemic And you talk about you just contracting COVID-19, Anthony. So many people that I've known, that I know, that over the last couple of weeks have contracted COVID-19. So it is safe to say that in a small place, in a small group, if you follow the protocol, you'll be safe. But how do you control thousands of people and tell them to do something or ask them to do something? It probably would have created a fuss. Mm-hmm. It probably would have created something that we would regret. So I have to say that I will support the decision for not having Grooving in the Park this year. I am the one who folks will walk up to and says, but you have put a date out, which was Sunday, June 26th. Yes, that was the date. That was the contracted date for the park. But we are sorry to say that we have to pull the plug based on, once again, the rise in the COVID numbers, the elevation of the COVID status here in the city of New York. And they're telling us now that mask mandates are coming back for certain places. So we could not, yes, take the chance of having Grooving 2022. Gentlemen?
All right, ask him. So the decision has been made, and, you know, we all have to support it. So
definitely.
Fall to 2023.
Christopher Roberts, thank you so much for getting up and joining us this morning. Usually you would have come and made this decision in the studio, but yes, but we support the decision, and we just have to work and build on a better 2023. And as Frank and Rose said, they're very sure that they will get a concert of a lifetime come 2023. Thank you so much, gentlemen.
All right.
One love. We'll talk soon. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are at that point. We are at that moment where we're going to have to wrap and make room for the next presentation, which is going to be the Rake Up Radio team. But before I go this morning, I would like to say happy belated birthday to the legendary, respected, beloved musician, singer, songwriter and composer, the Grammy-winning Lowell Fillmore Sly Dunbar. He was born on May 10th, 1952, celebrated his 70th birthday this past week. Also, thanks to each and every one who sent me a birthday greetings last weekend. I celebrated on Mother's Day. My brother, Michael Anthony, was born on May 2nd also. My brother from another mother, Donovan Staines, will celebrate on the 20th. And Junior Chihuahua Blake will celebrate later on down. Grooving Radio was executive produced by Clement Hume and Christopher Roberts. Grooving Radio was hosted by Ross Glenn, contributing to our presentation this Saturday morning. Gotta say thanks to the good folks from Jampro. Yes, Mr. Shane Angus, their regional manager, trade and investment, North America and Canada. He joined us in our community engagement segment. Musically, we were engaged with the music of the one and only, yes, Johnny Osborne, who will perform at the Westchester Reggae Festival come the 29th of May. Memorial Day weekend, Legends in Concert, the music of Johnny Osborne. We got a brand new song in there somewhere from Tania Stephen, Sidella Marley, and Diana King. We got news courtesy of the Jamaica Gleaner, Jamaica Now. Anthony Turner joined us for Entertainment Report. And yes, he provided the documents for Mike Check this Saturday morning. Our guest, Christopher Roberts, announcing that there will be no Grooving in the Park 2022. June 25th, 2023, the next staging of Grooving in the Park.